Geek Radio Daily for Weekend Eve. And hey, you should get mail again today and make sure you check it because Christmas presents you ordered are starting to come in and your kids generally get home before you do. I'm just saying, think about it, won't you? This has been a public service announcement. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places along those lines. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that will get things done no matter what obstacle he faces, that there is podcasting Fritz Siegfried.
Sometimes being able to stick your foot in your own ear just isn't enough.
I don't know what that means, sir. I really don't. That's
because I'm aiming for my mouth.
Oh, cool. Well, we always aim for our mouth. That's the best way to make things happen. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
We do serve shots of wheatgrass.
What happened this fine day there, sir?
In 1631, the transit of Venus occurs as predicted by dark wizard Johannes Kepler.
1768, the first edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is Latin for British Encyclopedia, is published under the title Encyclopedia Britannica, or a dictionary of arts and sciences compiled upon a new plan.
I could never solve any of the mysteries found in there. 1877, Thomas Edison records his own recitation of Mary Had a Little Lamb onto a cylinder wrapped with tinfoil using his newly completed prototype hand-cranked phonograph.
1882, the transit of Venus across the sun is first photographed on a series of glass plate negatives by Amherst College astronomer David Peck Todd.
1922, the General Electric Utica Gas and Electric Company becomes the first commercial electricity company.
1923, U.S. President Calvin Coolidge makes the first presidential address on U.S. radio.
1932, EMI demonstrates its first 180-line electronic television system, which is only capable of scanning film to the BBC.
It can't scan film to anybody else. 1933, the U.S. ban on the James Joyce novel Ulysses is lifted. Don't let the library cop come hunt you down.
See, they were constantly making remakes even back then. I preferred the Homer version. 1941, the Manhattan Project is formed in Chicago, Illinois, and the Los Angeles, California. The goal of the project is to develop a functional atomic bomb and also confuse our enemies because it was nowhere near Manhattan.
People who couldn't make that happen in 1945 patented the first microwave oven because they're thematically similar.
So for those of you who want to do Watchmen cosplay, don't put anything in the microwave. It's not going to work that way. In 1957, America's first attempt at putting a satellite into orbit fails when the Vanguard rocket TV-3 carrying it explodes on the launch pad in Cape Canaveral, Florida.
1964, the animated puppet special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, now a Christmas perennial, first aired on NBC TV. She thinks I'm cute!
1967, the United States Department of Defense issues a $19,800 contract to Stanford Research Institute for the purpose of studying the design and specification of a computer network. The four-month study will result in the creation of the ARPANET.
1981, Games by Apollo releases Skeet Shoot for the Atari 2600 video game system. Despite the fact the game will widely be considered to be one of the worst Atari 2600 games of all times, Games by Apollo will sell $200,000 worth of the game by Christmas, and the company will go on to gross $8 million on just a dozen video game titles within a year's time. That's back before making a bad game would get you bankrupted. Right, E.T.?
1985, Paramount Pictures releases the action film Young Sherlock Holmes, directed by Barry Levinson, and starring Nicholas Rowe, Alan Cox, Anthony Higgins, Sophie Ward, and Roger Ashton Griffiths. The film is notable for being the first to feature a computer-generated character, the Stained Glass Man, and it's a fun movie.
Yeah, Pixar did great work on that. 1991, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country is released, directed by Nicholas Meyer, starring William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan, George Takei, Walter Koenig, and Nichelle Nichols, and wow, that was a good movie as well.
It's a shame the original cast didn't appear in any other Star Trek movies.
Right?
In 1998, at approximately 9:07 EST, astronauts on the U.S. space shuttle Endeavour complete the most difficult task of their 12-day mission, maneuvering modules from Russia and the United States to join the first two building blocks of the International Space Station.
2005, Apple Computer announces that the iTunes Music Store customers have downloaded 3 million videos since the launch of the service's video support on October 12th. People were just hungry for videos.
Gosh, I wonder if that corresponds in any way to Napster shutting down. In 2006, the DC comic series Batman Confidential debuts. The series centers on the earlier career of Batman in the first weeks after he became a crime fighter and would just ride around in cabs and tell them all about his filthy details.
Get his Ubers. Also in 2006, the Institute of Cancer Epidemiology in Denmark reports it has not uncovered any statistically significant correlation between cancer and cell phone use in a study based on about 400,000 cell phone users no matter what the hell you say, 2020.
And also NASA releases photographs taken by the Mars Global Surveyor that suggests the presence of liquid water on the planet Mars in two craters.
You know, waters of Mars, we keep warning you. 2009, Iranian authorities slow internet connections to a crawl or shut them down completely nationwide in anticipation of student protests the following day in an attempt to prevent communication between event organizers, something that they figured would work well for streaming services a short decade later.
Ryan Karn's 38 years old from The Phantom and Blackout.
Noel Clark is 44, that's Mickey on Doctor Who, Storage 24, Star Trek Into Darkness, The Anomaly.
Corey Higginson, 50 years old from Tech War, Stargate Atlantis, and NCIS.
Judd Apatow is 52 years of age, the man that brought us Freaks and Geeks, Undeclared, Anchorman, 40-year-old Virgin, Pineapple Express, so many things.
And a stand-up special as he returned to stand-up 20 years after he had last been on stage.
Good job, sir.
Deneen Turner, 57 years old, from Northern Exposure, Strong Medicine, and Friday Night Lights.
Nick Park is 61, the creator of Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep.
Stephen Wright, 64 years old, brilliant stand-up comedian. He's the guy on the couch in Half-Baked. And if you have not seen him live, do it. He's amazing. Still to this day, he's 147 years old, still brings it. And honestly, is one of those guys who perfected the one-line joke and the deadpan delivery.
Oh, and he was the DJ in Reservoir Dogs. Tom Hulse is 66 from Animal House, Mozart, or Amadeus if you prefer, The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Craig Newmark, 66, he founded Craigslist.
Oh, is that still around? Joe Beth Williams is 71 from Kramer vs. Kramer, Poltergeist, Teachers, Dexter, Private Practice.
You know, I haven't seen Kramer vs. Kramer. Who won?
We all did.
Was both of their mothers named Martha? We've also got Patrick Bachow, 81 years old, Scarpine, in A View to a Kill, The Pretender, and House.
No longer with us. Born in the state in 1805, Jean-Eugène Robert Houdin, French magician, the father of The Conjuring, which has had far too many sequels at this point.
And you're not wrong. 1900, Agnes Moorehead. From Citizen Kane, but let's face it, most of us remember her more as Endora on Bewitched.
1924, Wally Cox. He was Mr. Peepers, but of course we will know him always as the voice of Underdog.
1929, Frank Springer, comic book writer of Dazzler and Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
1949, Doug Marlette, the creator of the Kudzu comic strip, and I wonder whose idea it was to move that on into the future. Weird.
On CBS, we've got a new Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, Mom, Murphy Brown, and SWAT.
ABC, it's a Charlie Brown Christmas. Aw, and then the Great American Baking Show Holiday Edition. Aw.
NBC has a new Superstore, Good Place, Will and Grace, I Feel Bad, and Eleanor Swoop.
Congratulations on season four, Good Place. Fox, yay. It's the Jaguars versus the Titans because the word wire is not in Jaguar.
Well, I would definitely put it, I would go with the Titans. I mean, those demigods tend to, I mean, they're against little junk. And
I remember the Titans.
Heaven faces an attack from a dark force on a new Hanson Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour known as Supernatural and Legacies.
Freeform has got Toy Story and Toy Story 2, The Return.
The Toy Story-ing. AMC has Christmas Vacation.
Bravo, it's the fastest 2 minutes in cooking on a new Top Chef. Make sure your DVRs are set to record.
Yeah, that's not even enough time to put in a commercial.
Nope.
Discovery Channel has Lost Artifacts on a new Expedition Unknown.
FX is showing Wolf of Wall Street, but it doesn't have the scene I want, so.
FXX Simpsons has Dr. Hell No, Like Father, Like Clown, Today I Am a Clown.
FXM has Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, which, no, doesn't matter how many scenes they have.
IFC has Facebook Friends face off against Work Friends on a new Baroness von sketch.
Who will survive? BBC America Underworld Awakening, which is the fourth, fifth movie? Nobody knows.
I can't keep track of them. Paramount has Men in Black.
Sci-Fi Channel, Lami's talents proved to be useful for DeBrennan, and Tessie and Rowan theorize alien life on a new Night Flyers, which is so good.
True TV has Humiliation for the Holidays on a new Impractical Jokers, and then a Holiday Party on a new Impractical Jokers, and Staten Island Holiday Spectacular on Impractical Jokers.
Wow, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. Despite being married to a successful businessman, a woman falls in love with her repairman and hides away in her attic as her sex slave, but she has more than one secret to hide when her lover kills her husband after a heated argument. Molly Burnett, David Fierro star in The Lover in the Attic, a true story.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Abe loses his temper with Sheila after some disappointing news from Valerie. because he believes all of what he hears, which means he trusts her more than Marvin Gaye. And that ain't right. Sarah appeals to Maggie to let Eric raise Holly so she can be jolly. Christmas. Chloe is thrilled when Lucas returns from Europe, and then he's like, bye, I'm going back to Europe with Allie. Eli confronts Lonnie about her feelings for him, and he's like, look, I think we have a love connection. We'll be back in 2 and 2. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today.
No, because everybody's so busy, because yesterday is when Burger King kicked off their get a Whopper for a penny deal if you go to McDonald's first, and the world is just asunder with calamities and people driving all over the place. And once you slow down and can take a moment to breathe, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or you can tell us all about it, including how some McDonald's have firewalled and blocked out your ability to connect to anything Burger King from their Wi-Fi service by sending a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
It's not like I tried it at 6 stores or anything.
Calling all Dungeons & Dragons fans. If you like actual play podcasts, then I urge you to check out a new one. It's called You Meet in a Tavern, starring a halfling monk with a Napoleon complex, an honorable human paladin with an arsenal of horrible impressions, and an animal-loving half-elf druid whose bonds are covalent and mortgage-backed. We are 420-somethings with dull jobs by day, letting our inner nerd kid shine through our first ever D&D 5th edition campaign together. Come listen to our quest on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at YMIA Tavern. That's You Meet in a Tavern, because every good story starts in a bar.
Hi, this is Walter Koenig, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Speaking of stories that started at a bar, hey, welcome back to it. And as we're getting ready to wrap up the week, what better way to do it than by alleged violence?
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Oh, it's going to be a fragtastic day. What are we fragging folks in there, sir?
The Last Remnant, a Square Enix-developed RPG with a new and unique combat system that invites the gamers to an exciting experience, available for the PS4.
Carcassonne Tiles and Tactics, a modern classic tile placement game based on the award-winning game in which the players draw and place a tile with a piece of southern French landscape on it, for the Switch.
I believe it's pronounced... Carcassonne. We've also got Rival... Carcassonne. I think we should change that name.
Ooh,
Rival Megagun, a PvP battle shmup. That is literally the words that they use.
It is.
Shmup. For the Switch.
Ooh, Beholder, a totalitarian-themed spying game for the Switch.
Color Zen, there are no rules. Simply discover the right way to play in this abstract game, which means bad game design. They didn't know what they were doing for the Switch.
From that must be anime based on... Katamari Damacy, this quirky Japanese game, the tiny prince must roll up anything and everything in his path to rebuild the heavens after the king of all cosmos destroys all the stars in the universe during a drunken bender. Bite my shiny metal ass for the Switch.
I like to call that drunken toddler with sticky hands the game. We've also got Hello Neighbor, Hide and Seek. It's a prequel to Hello Neighbor. Learn the story of why the neighbor acts the way he does and explore the world of imagination. For the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the Nintendo flagship party platform fighter. It's the debut title for the Switch. Every character that's ever appeared in a previous Smash Bros. Title will be there. 12:01 a.m. I'll be there. Come play me.
Except Bowsette. We've also got Sega Genesis Classics, a compilation of over 50 classic titles in the Sega Genesis library for the Switch.
Darwin's Test, a first-person action and puzzle game that immerses you into a futuristic universe for the PC.
Also for the PC, we've got Retired, or VR Atired, a stunning VR arcade game in retro wave style.
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, or PUBG if you prefer, a survival shooter that pits 100 players in a large empty location where they must scavenge for weapons and fight to the death. For the PC, I thought it already was, but what do I know?
I think it's like an official release or something. Ooh. Like that. Guns and Stories Bulletproof VR, a dynamic VR Western shooter that has fully immersed players into the ambience. Guns and Stories Bulletproof VR, a dynamic VR Western shooter that fully immerses players into the ambience of Weird Wild West. Stepping into the tangled storyline, you will encounter many intimidating but comical enemies and fight big bosses for the PS4.
Guacamelee 2. Juan Aguacate returns for some more jumping, exploring, body slams, and chicken magic in the sequel to the wonderful luchador fighting crazy weird action-adventure Drinkbox 2013 hit for the Switch.
I've watched it. It is such a charming game. EverQuest of the Burning Lands is the 25th expansion to EverQuest for the PC.
Living up to its title. Salt and Sanctuary, a side-scrolling 2D action RPG about a sailor shipwrecked on a mysterious island for the Switch.
Senran Kagura Burst Renewal, a 3D remake of the first two games from that series for the PS4.
Everspace, a space shooter with roguelike type gameplay for the Switch. You need more rogues in your life.
Kingdom Two Crowns. Players must work in the brand new solo or co-op campaign mode to build their kingdom and secure it from the threat of the greed. Experience new technology, units, enemies, mounts, and secrets in the next evolution of the award-winning MicroStrategy franchise for the Switch.
Desert Child. Race hover bikes to earn enough money to move to Mars for the Switch.
And to close us out, Season 7 of Fortnite drops today. I don't know why I'm at work, but I am, because I have to be, because I need to make money to buy skins for Fortnite. But Season 7, yeah!
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. The CW Supergirl had the mid-season finale episode, Bunker Hill. It was on Sunday, and we're gearing up for the Arrowverse crossovers Elseworld this weekend.
You son of a, you got your Flash in my Green Arrow.
No, you got your Green Arrow in my Flash. Gah, changes are coming to Supergirl.
Is she growing up?
Well, no. I mean, casting-wise, AZ Tasafi will be joining the cast as James Olsen's sister, Kelly Olsen, that no one knew existed, and Hannah Jones will be playing the sister and mother of Nia Nall. Wait, the sister and mother? Whatever. And another villain is coming.
Ooh, is John Cryer finally here?
Oh, no.
You wish. Jessica Mraz will be joining the cast as Pamela Ferrer, a.k.a. Menagerie. In comics, she's a Puerto Rican woman with metamorphosis powers and has control over alien life forms called Simbeasts that she can control to take any shape.
Yay, more crummy CG.
The origins of her character's powers are unknown. She first appeared in Action Comics 775 in 2001 in an arc titled What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, and the American Way. She was recruited by Manchester Black for his Elite.
Ooh, please give me the hat.
What, your beanie?
No, that is a member of the Elite. Keep up, fanboy.
I thought you were going to say Coldcast, who is cooler. Mm. Yeah, okay. The casting of Menagerie's character has been described as a jewel thief that does not mind hurting people and connects her to Black's Elite. It's possible that her powers could be developed on the series via Lena Luthor's experiments that she's been conducting on people, but then again, she could be an alien. Who the hell knows? For now, it's unknown when this villain will be making her debut. So when will we see the Elite? What do we even know about them? I mean, they are the good guys, namely us, and the bad guys, namely anyone who treats anyone else like trash to further their petty aims. We turn bad guys into memories, so mind your manners, lads and lasses, or we'll blow your house down. We're the Elite. You asked for us, world. Now you got us. At an unknown time, but surely sometime this season.
Everyone wants in on anime. And yes, Jason, your smirk just broke my headphones. Hulu and Funimation have announced a multi-year partnership and output deal for anime programming with a new subtitled and dubbed titles from Funimation coming to Hulu each year.
Netflix has made them nervous. Again.
Under the deal, Hulu will have first look at U.S. rights to future anime series produced and released by Funimation beginning in 2019, and will make Hulu and Funimation the co-exclusive premiere destinations to certain new subtitled anime hits day and date with the worldwide premiere in Japan.
Guess Crunchyroll done rolled away.
This marks Hulu's latest agreement for anime programming to date and broadens their previously existing agreement, which will make both Hulu and Funimation the co-exclusive U.S. premiere homes to dozens of new anime titles each year.
So you can stop going to the dirt mall for your bootleg tapes.
Oh, but I really like going because there's this one fortune teller. Man, she's just got that something extra. But they are the only platforms in the U.S. to stream all subbed and dubbed episodes of top anime hits, including My Hero Academia, Tokyo Ghoul, and the fantastic Attack on Titan. And Tilda Swinton isn't in any of these, or Scarlett Johansson, not even Willem Dafoe.
Fallout 76, it got so many things wrong, but fans are willing to forgive many of them.
Please, everyone loves unfinished online-only games that are rather boring.
Well, many still do, but the collector's edition bag has proved to be one of the most damning things that customers are up in arms about, because nobody's running around saying,
trash bags! I want trash bags!
those country roads did not take me home.
In an attempt to make it right, Bethesda's now going to send folks a proper canvas bag. Hopefully one that looks like the one they promised, and not one that makes people go,
"Trash bags! I want trash bags!"
In case you missed what the hell we're talking about, the $200 collector's edition for Fallout 76, Bethesda had a picture of a military-style canvas bag that looked awesome, but instead they were sent a very cheap nylon bag. Bethesda has responded, "We are finalizing manufacturing plans for replacement canvas bags for the Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition. If you purchase the CE, please visit this very long URL that'll be in the show notes and submit a ticket by January 31st of next year. We'll arrange to send you a replacement as soon as the bags are ready." So see, gamers, studios will give you what they promised. You just have to be very, very vocal, which means Half-Life 3 not being out's your fault. And Black Mesa is laughing at you.
Over the past few years, Insane Clown Posse has been a kind of happy meme in the music press. Their face paint blocks facial surveillance. When clowns attack, ICP fans don't. We even regularly make jokes here on GRD about their Gathering of the Juggalos infomercials and confusion over magnets. Honestly, the song is actually very sweet. You should listen to it and realize that they're using metaphors. But even if you're not a fan of the world's most hated band, you've got to love their fans' commitment and the group's commitment to them, even 25 years in. You see, family is a key concept in juggaloism. At the March on Washington last year, protesting the FBI's classification of ICP fans as a gang, one fan told Fader that they were there because they were part of a family that appreciates me for me and will accept me and I'll accept them, and I know I have their backs and they have mine. Speaking of acceptance, Violent J, one half of the founders of ICP, his young daughter Ruby Bruce Lee is a furry. After she got ripped off by a shady fursuit vendor on a $750 buy, a real Barney Alexander, by the way, he made a video with her calling out the outrageously insane snaky crooks in a new web series called Snake Busters. If you don't know, he is an incredible comedic actor, and turns out so is Ruby, who calls him out for swearing and owns him repeatedly. My mom says if my dad could rap better, he wouldn't be so broke. Now, not only did he make that video, he also accompanied his daughter to a furry convention in his own fursuit, complete with Juggalo-style face fur. As the proud father of a furry, I don't even know if I could do that. Now, not due to embarrassment, but I'm a big guy, and I wouldn't want to have to wring my fursuit out after wearing it for 5 minutes. I've worn Darth Vader suit. That's what happens. It doesn't smell good afterwards. But just like a Juggalo's love for Faygo and many other parts of their crazy clown world, this video is so goddamn pure. Now, what's the opposite of a cursed video? Well, Violent J from ICP supporting his furry daughter in a fursuit. Flynn and I may not necessarily be writers, but we're deaf down to show some clown love.
You damn right. And sure, we could have ended on a sweet note right there, but going too far is one of the many things that we're known for.
One could say it's our milieu.
I doubt people could say that. Tumblr, as you may know, committed to making its social network a more child-friendly place. So gone are the days of Tumblrs full of boobs and prawn gifts and shahulak and supernatural memes and stuff and people drooling over it. The announcement shared via the staff account promised a better, more positive Tumblr, free of things like sexual acts, genitalia, and the always feared female-presenting nipples.
Are they aware that men have nipples?
I don't think they are. Though the site won't actually ban porn and other objectionable content until December 17th, it is already flagging content that could be subject to censorship. A post about the history of Milli Vanilli's been flagged, as has a GIF set of She-Ra and a dumb Star Trek meme.
Dumb meme would have sufficed.
That's true. Meanwhile, a woman who penned a popular post about attractive braces for those with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome found the post flagged as explicit because the algorithm can't tell the difference, I suppose, between a finger and a penis.
I feel bad for their significant others. Oh!
A post of a woman in a Victorian dress was also flagged for being too salacious when it wasn't even salacious by 19th century British terms.
May I have the pleasure of you sending me a heliographic engraving of your ankles via post?
In fairness, even Jesus got flagged.
Too much passion for that Christ.
Now look, a blanket ban on adult content doesn't save kids from porn, but it does indiscriminately hand down harm against artists and marginalized communities seeking to express themselves. You can't moderate the internet, and certainly not with an algorithm that is programmed by people to behave like a person might.
Meanwhile, Newgrounds is very happy to be relevant again after posting that they allow NSFW content. Weird flex, but okay.
It's also unlikely to get any better anytime soon. Networks like Tumblr and Facebook employ computer algorithms to act as moderators because it's a lot cheaper than employing actual humans, and Tumblr in particular had a cash flow problem for some time now. The network has failed to monetize its sizable audience in the way Facebook or even Reddit has, and its parent company, Oath, has never actually understood what the hell it even is, why it's popular, what it could be, and why everyone's on their damn lawn. And hey, if you You think you can blanket ban porn? I don't know. Why not try blanket banning Nazis?
Whoa. First Amendment, man, said the person who doesn't understand how that stuff actually works.
Banning them and other hateful groups would be a lot better use of their time because, as you should know, as we all know,
Internet is for porn!
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 93.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
That's a classic.
If I'm wrong, you tell me, but you know I'm not. Drop me a note and tell me how not wrong I am by sending a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com.
Or send examples.
Please, send examples by voicemail. That should be fascinating. Just do that by dialing
510-GRD.
Yeah.
Just tell us the names of the gifts. I don't know.
Just call us and leave a message, but tell us that your naughty bits are just out there in the air. Ooh, that works for him. It's very strange. Sorry.
You ever cover yourself in Vaseline?
Hey,
we
should get a Kickstarter and see if we could actually, get some maturity from somewhere. That'd be cool.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but to say.
Friday, I was in a bookstore. I started talking to this very French-looking girl. She was a bilingual illiterate. She couldn't read in two different languages. Left the store and went down the street to my bus. My bus came and I got on. Started walking toward the back. Sat down beside this beautiful blonde Chinese girl. I said hello and she said hello. I said, isn't it an amazing day? She said, yes it is, I guess. I said, what do you mean you guess? She said, well, things haven't been going too well for me lately. I said, like what? She said, I can't tell you. I don't even know you. And I said, yeah, but sometimes it's good to tell your problems to an absolute total stranger on a bus. She said, well, I've just come back from my analyst and he's still unable to help me. And I said, what's the problem? And she paused and said, I'm a nymphomaniac and I only get turned on by Jewish cowboys. Then she said, by the way, my name's Diane. And I said, hello, Diane, I'm Bucky Goldstein.